All right. I would like to call today's Kendall County Board meeting for January 15th, 2019 at 9 a.m., the adjourned September meeting to order. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Sessich?
Present.
Ms. Flowers?
She will not be here.
Mr. Giles?
He will not be here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Yeah, here.
Ms. Hendricks?
Here.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Here.
Mr. Purcell?
I am here.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
You have a quorum?
Thank you. With a quorum being present, may I have a motion to approve the county board minutes from December 3rd, 2018, and December 4th, 2018, and December 18th, 2018?
So moved.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda is written by Hendricks.
Second.
Seconded by Gilmore. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All ayes. Special recognition. I have two that I would like to recognize today. First, Dwight Baird, Sheriff, would you like to come up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Charlene. She's from AAA, and she is here to present us with a check for $18,000 on a grant for traffic safety. So, Charlene, I invite you to say a couple words if you'd like.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, and members of the County Board. As you heard, my name is Charlene Sliding. I'm the Traffic Safety Program Manager for AAA. I'm honored and proud to give the Kendall County Sheriff's Department and the men and women who serve the county $18,000. Well, not me personally, I wish I had that money, but AAA is here to give them the money. And how they obtained this money was because of the fact that they applied for a grant for $18,000 for a radar cart and a speed display sign. Many of you might not be aware, but one-third of all crash fatalities are due to speed. Your mission statement for the sheriff's office says that if they don't have the resources available, they'll reach out to community to obtain that. They reach out to AAA, they obtain that. Another commendable part of the mission statement says they are guardians of our families. This tools will be used to help keep our families and your families safe. So thank you for your time and congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
All good, Jim? Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Do we have the rest of the All right, next special recognition. We would like to recognize Sandy Davis, the County Director of the University of Illinois Extension of DuPage, Kane, and Kendall Counties, and I'd like to recognize Mr. Kellogg.
Sandra, if you would come up and let everybody appreciate you. It's kind of special for me. I've been in the 4-H program, you know, involved since I was 8 years old. The thing we don't realize as kids is all the work that goes on behind the scenes, and I know you were behind a lot of that and a lot of the success of the kids in our county, some of the programs out the fairgrounds. So we've got a token of our appreciation. I believe we have a plaque, and it says, "Congratulations on your retirement, Sandra Davis, County Director, University of Illinois Extension of DuPage, Kane, and Kendall Counties. In appreciation of 47 years of service, dedication to Kendall County, April 1st, 1971 to January 31st, 2019, presented on January 15th, 2019 by the Kendall County Board," and then it has our names. So I just want to give you personal thanks to you know, nobody knows and doesn't see you at the fair and understand all the hard work you put into it, all the kids that learn so much through that program and move on to do other things in their lives because of 4-H. So thank you personally and on behalf of the board.
Well, thank you so much. 4-H has meant a lot to me. My father was in 4-H here in Kendall County back in the 40s, and then I followed through with 4-H. My children went through 4-H, and now my grandchildren are in 4-H. So 4-H has meant a lot to me in the past. Also, the Total Extension Program with our Master Gardener volunteers and the services that they offer to the community and Who's Nutrition, et cetera. We have a very diverse group of educational programs, and we really appreciate all the support that Kendall County has provided. It's the Kendall County Board. You've been excellent, and we appreciate what you've done to us. I also want to recognize my regional director. I came in this morning and here Joe sat, and I was completely dumbfounded. Without Joe and my colleagues, Deanna is somewhere in here. There she is back there. She told me yesterday when I was meeting with her, she was going to be in Champaign-Urbana. And here she walks in, Hugh and Joanne, Rosie, our marketing person, and Kim. And Kim deserves a lot of credit because she is the person that answers the phone, reaches out the door, and without Kim right there for us, we wouldn't be able to be as successful as we are here. So thank you to everyone. I really enjoyed my years in Extension, and you can see that it was back a long time. and maybe someday I'll live to see great-grandchildren in 4-H. I really don't know, but thank you. And thank you for recognizing me and honoring me. It's really delightful to see this being appreciated at the end of my career. But I'm sure you'll see me around because I still have grandkids that'll be at the fair, so I'll probably be around for some of that.
Well, we appreciate all you've done for this community and for Kendall County and the Extension. And I don't know, Joe or anybody else, do you want to say anything? You're welcome to come on up. Or
I don't want to take up any more of the meeting. I do appreciate the board taking the time to recognize Sandra. I've been with Extension for 26 years. In that time, I've had the opportunity to see a number of dedicated individuals and passion for the programming that is delivered by the University of Illinois Extension, and Sandra's right there at the top of that list. And so I appreciate the board's continued support for our Extension programming. And as Sandra pointed out, I mean, it goes beyond just the 4-H youth development, but our programming and family consumer sciences, ag and natural resources, consumer economic development are all examples of programs that we have out in the community. And certainly appreciate, again, all the support that Sandra's given the program and that you've provided financially in support of the program. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we will now take recess the county board meeting. We'll take about a 10-minute break, and we'll be back for the Forest Preserve by 9:30 at the latest. Thank you. Calling the Kendall County board meeting back to order. Next up is citizens to be heard, and you'll have 5 minutes.
Jim Williams is my name. Hello there. Hello, man. I've been going to building and zoning meetings for going on 3 years now. It's the issues in Boulder Hill that really affect me and people that I know. We have the Boulder Hill Neighborhood Watch. And going to that, the Kendall County Police, of course, put that on. And then it's kind of an open discussion, and people at that meeting don't know what the process is on getting building and zoning issues in Boulder Hill corrected. I got a current list here from Brian Holderman on violations in Kendall County. There's 112 on this list, and 80 of them pertain to Boulder Hill. Now, during one of the breaks, I talked to a state's attorney there and the new building and zoning chairman that I haven't really met yet, but sounds like they're really on the same program that I'd like to see and get some things corrected up there. So building and zoning meetings that I've been going to and stating my issues with that, everything has to come to you people to make the final decisions on things. And please take it into consideration how Boulder Hill has changed over all these years. From 1961, when my parents had their home built, and I've lived there ever since. And then when the county, Kendall County Police Board, does their meetings there at Boulder Hill, and they give a record of how many police calls were made in Boulder Hill. One time it was 600 and some calls in Kendall County, and over 420 some of them were Boulder Hill related. So the hill has changed drastically from its inception in the beginning with Don Dice, and people are learning how to play the system. The teeth aren't in the rules. There hasn't been a fine issued or collected in 20 years. And at one of the meetings I had with Scott here and Matt, it was they don't even know if they can fine anybody for issues in Boulder Hill. So some decisions need to be made as to what can be done. Repeat offenders in certain cases. I got a couple properties up there, and I've got some strict rules with my tenants and stuff. And then I try and keep those areas pretty well cleaned up with boats and campers and that kind of stuff around the immediate area, but those people are playing the system. And once a complaint is filed, Brian does everything that he can. And then he's stopped. He doesn't have the authority to go past a certain degree of enforcement. And those people have learned that system and come, say in April, complaints filed with a camper or a boat on the driveways. It'll be there all summer, 6-7 months go by. Couple issue complaints will be cited to them. One person in particular had 4 complaints written and delivered to that residence. He never complied. He was at one of the board meetings, and Mr. Davison gave him a 6-month extension, and nothing was done in 6 months. The guy thought he could do it in 6 months. That was a bunch of BS that he fed Bob. And after 8 months, it was finally some degree handled, but there's still issues going on. So there needs to be more teeth put into these building and zoning violations. But once a person is cited, like I said, 6-7 months go by, fall comes, now they put that same vehicle that's been cited, the boat, the camper, in storage somewhere or in the garage. Come March, April of the next year, the vehicle comes right back out. That person, if you file on them, and has to go through the whole process all over. They're not like a repeat offender, and it's already on their record as being cited before. So now they know the system, and they'll go another 6-7 months with it on the driveways. But please consider it and put some teeth in the rules so things can be done. I know inoperable vehicles has already been dealt with. That's going to take care of some issues, not a lot. Junk and debris is the next one that's going to be taken care of. There's not a lot of that. It's the boats, the campers, the RVs, the commercial vehicles. That is the predominant one in Boulder Hill. And that's the last one that's going to be talked about and taken to the state's attorney. Priority-wise, everyone that I know and go to the Boulder Hill meetings, that should have been first on the list. But for however it was chosen, it went to the last. Was that my 5 minutes?
Your 5 minutes. Yes,
all
sir.
Right. Thank you.
If I can, I don't know how to turn it off. But all right. Just say your name for the record, and you have 5 minutes as well.
I'm Chris Pollack, 4 Cardinal Lane, honorably retired sergeant from the Illinois State Police after 26 years of service. I'm here today to finally bring to light what really happens along the Route 71 corridor, where 4 gun ranges exist within a 1.5 mile stretch, south of Orchard Road and north of Van Emmon Street. In October 2018, through the Freedom of Information Act, I requested copies of the zoning permits or special use permits issued to the 4 gun clubs in question: Norwood, Barber Green, Twin Ponds, and the Kendall County Sheriff's Department leased range from the Kendall County Building and Zoning Department. Their response was this: they showed me something about Norwood being zoned A1, maybe special use, it was unclear. That Barber Green was established in the 1950s, and that was it. Kendall County PBZ knows nothing of the Twin Ponds gun range or the Kendall County Sheriff's Department lease gun range from their existing records. Interesting, I said. I asked again about the Kendall County Sheriff's Department leased gun range, and the response again was there was no record of this gun range having existing zoning or having any type of land use permit on file. The Kendall County gun range is the one that is generating the bulk of gunshot reports that we endure day in, day out, which affects our quality of life, affects our pets, and our other animals. How many times a year does the Kendall County Board think the Kendall County Sheriff's Department range is used? Is it 5, 10, 15, or even 20 days a year? In front of you, I have handed out a copy of the 2008 shooting schedule at the Kendall County Sheriff's Department's range, which I received from the Kendall County Sheriff's Department from FOIA. You do the math. From January 1st to October 31st of 2018, there is a possible 304 days in the year. During those 10 months, 226 days were booked by 14 different law enforcement departments to shoot or discharge firearms. Again, 226 days out of 304 possible days is 74.3%. This is not including November and December, which on your handout, the sheriff's office blacked out those months for some reason, even though the range was still being used. So why are all these different law enforcement departments coming to our county to add to the already existing noise coming from this range-infested area, now surrounded by many, many new luxury homes in high-end neighborhoods with $10,000-plus property tax bills? Why is Aurora, Naperville PD, Forest Park PD, and numerous other municipal police departments coming to Kendall County and discharging their service weapons along with their high-capacity assault weapons? Are these other law enforcement departments authorized to use our Kendall County Sheriff's Department range? Who is the Kendall County Sheriff's Department gun range master, and is that person keeping detailed records from those other departments using our gun range? Are these other departments insured, and is that proof of insurance on file with the county administration? Maybe the answer is because these departments' municipalities don't allow the discharge of firearms in their city limits. I'm going to have my daughter continue because I know my 5 minutes would run out.
You got a minute and a half if you want to keep going.
No, I'll let her
right.
go.
We know when you're ready. Go ahead. Okay. Just say your name for the record, please.
I'm Mary Pollack. I live at 4 Cardinal Lane in Yorkville, and I will be continuing the rest of my father's presentation, being that it could have made it maybe, but you came prepared.
Let's make sure.
Just 2 days ago, WSPY reported that the DeKalb County Sheriff's Department dropped its plans to build an outdoor gun range after local citizens in DeKalb County voiced their concerns over the impact it would have to them. I wonder if Kendall County citizens were ever given the opportunity to speak at a scheduled public hearing regarding the construction of the Kendall County Sheriff's Department's gun range. There are numerous alternatives for all these law enforcement departments to get their shoots in. One that I presented to Sheriff Beard was to shoot at the Illinois State Police Range, located next to Stateville Prison in Lockport, which is in an area all by itself. His response was It's Too Far. It's Montgomery Too Far? Is Oswego Too Far? They both have state-of-the-art gun ranges. There are numerous ranges, both indoor and outdoor, used by all the police departments that exist somewhere in the state of Illinois. What was once considered to be a good place to allow the Kendi County Sheriff's Department sworn officers to qualify with their service weapons has mushroomed to 13 additional law enforcement agencies intruding on the quality of life of Kendall County citizens. In some months, especially after the month of April, we experienced this incessant intrusion in our daily lives, including Saturdays and Sundays. That is why we are seeking relief and asking the Kendall County Sheriff's Department to be a good neighbor. Currently, the county is considering a new gun range ordinance based upon the issuance of special use permits. What are the special use conditions for the Kendall County Sheriff's Department gun range, or are there even any? This area along Route 71 has many more homes than it did in the early 90s when the Kendall County Sheriff's Department gun range was created. This site was erected by the need to get rid of excavated topsoil that came from the excavation of the foundation for the new Kendall County Public Safety Center and jail in the early 90s. Kendall County Sheriff Dwight Beard stated to me personally that most of the noise from that area comes from his Kendi County Sheriff Department range, which is being used by 13 other law enforcement agencies besides the Kendall County Sheriff's Department. I'm asking the Kendall County Board, my elected officials, to request a copy from existing PBZ Records Committee meeting minutes and the Kendall County Board official vote taken from the early 90s that duly authorized and permitted or created the Kendall County Sheriff Department gun range located along the railroad tracks off of Route 71 south of Orchard Road. I believe you will find it was only supposed to be temporary gun range for the use of the Kendall County Sheriff Department only. We have a process for doing special use permits, especially for gun ranges, even in the early 90s. I question, based upon my research, whether those procedures were ever followed. That's all I have.
Thank you both. Any other citizens? You have 5 minutes. Say your name for the record, please.
Todd Miller in Yorkville. If that research is valid, then how do we get the Kendall County Sheriff's Department's gun range? It would seem to me that in the past, this government body's done things. They just did them. They were different than, you know, what the rest of us have to comply with. So, I mean, the yardstick's the same whether you're a government body or a citizen or corporation or whatever it is. We all follow the same rules. So if this research is valid, then was this permitting done properly? And if not, we need to look at that. I mean, there's been things done in the past that just got winged, and it's the rules are the rules, and they need to be applied the same to everybody. So I would encourage you to follow up on this and see if Mr. Pollack's research is, in fact, valid. And if that's the case, then we need to look at some things that have been done from the past and see if they were done properly. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? I do have a need to go into executive session for, it should be quick, I think, but do you want to do it now or do you want to wait until the end?
It's regarding
land acquisition.
We have one for litigation. It'll be very quick.
I'd like to go now because I may
Me
leave
too.
Before
okay.
this meeting ends.
All right. Can you do a land act and for Brian?
Could we have 2 minutes?
So is there a motion?
I will make the
motion.
Yeah,
I'll
make
a motion.
Tell me what it is, please. Going into executive session for the purpose of the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the public body, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether the particular parcel should be acquired, number 5, and for number 11, litigation with an action against, affecting, or on behalf of a particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court.
That was my motion. Thank you.
Motion by Purcell, seconded by Gilmore, to go into executive session for those reasons. Do I need a roll call or can I do it all? Roll call.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
She just left the room.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All eyes. In open session, old business, discussion of State of Illinois Governmental Relations Consultants. Scott?
On Thursday afternoon, or I guess evening, I emailed out all of the documentation that I had from the different firms that were here to present at the Committee of the Whole, and I am looking for direction if there is for me to start working on a contract with a group, if there's a group that the board is happy with, and if any terms that you definitely want included in the agreement to bring back.
Mr. Prochaska.
I had reached out since the last board meeting, or since the Cal meeting, to just about as many of our reps and senators as I possibly could. Take two. I was not able to get a hold of Senator Christina Turan, or...
She called me during this meeting, so I just missed her.
Okay. Or Senator Holmes.
I talked to her last night.
Good to know. And by and large, they all said, for the firms you were considering, I'll just go by the order number. One and two were the ones that the members of the General Assembly, by and large, suggested.
One and two, you mean the...
Yes, and
oh,
one.
Thank you.
What was the reason, Matt?
For AGS, they were familiar with them. Almost everyone said, yes, we know all lobbyists with AGS, they all come. They're hopeful with the new addition for AGS, McMurray Leader Lane. And then for Cullen, it was, he's the person you go for big projects, by and large.
Ms. Sussage?
I did talk to Senator Tim Turan, so she liked the idea that we were actually looking at this.
Yeah, I got that too.
She was saying that this is going to be a lot of hands in that pot, so to have any kind of upper hand is always a good idea. She liked Cullen as well, so she did more of a two of one, but she said any of the firms would be interested. So it was nice to get that perspective.
And just to follow that up, I spoke to several legislators, not as many as Matthew, I guess, but it was a good mixture of senators, representatives, Republicans, Democrats, and they all kind of had the same opinion that it's a good idea for the county because it helps them to prioritize all of the voices that they get. I too kind of, my informal, poll was the Tom Cullen group was the sort of the most recommended for a big project, kind of like we're talking about, it seemed like. But the first group also seemed to be very well respected as well. So, and then the third one, I think we all were impressed with the diligence that they put in as well. Whether that translates to Springfield successes, I don't know, I guess, but I did like the diligence they put in there. So, Ms. Hendricks?
So, I reached out too, and the number one response I got was Mr. Cullen's group, primarily because a capital bill doesn't come around every year, and it's going to be a big dollar reach that you're doing, and you want to have your hands in the machine for a big dollar reach. But I did get feedback about the last group, which was, but on any other year, when you weren't trying to get capital money, that might be... It's income by 1,000 different sources kind of lobbying and work for you. So I tend to lean towards Mr. Cullen's group because we won't have a capital bill anytime soon after this, and I think we need to do a big dollar ask, reach. So I would like us to have the best possible chance of getting that. Number two, who was the second one, yeah.
So I guess it sounds to me like, for Scott's purposes then, we want him to negotiate the contract. And then I guess length, I've had some discussions with various, members individually about length of contract or specificity. The one thing that I liked about Cullen's group, he was the first one to mention, the second one mentioned it too, but was that the this was all inclusive. You know, yeah, the capital bill is obviously our high priority, but if there are other matters that come up that affect our county, you know, they are there for us to handle. The first group said they'd have to renegotiate their original proposal, so that is kind of, in my mind, is a little bit of a check against them. But the capital bill is the important thing for our county, I think, and that's why we're even down this road at this point. And, you know, in terms of priorities, everyone I did speak to said it's important for them to know what our priorities are, so I think that's really crucial for us to communicate to them either way, you know, this goes. And what we've talked about the last couple of meetings, I think, is Alamein Road as specific county projects are Alamein Road, Collins Road, and then, you know, as was brought up at the last meeting, that we should probably push for Route 47 widening as well. And I see, you know, heads nodding. I think that's a good, you know, even though it's not specific county money, it's really important to our residents, you know, that occur. You know, that gives us, if that happens, you know, that's our primary artery through the county, you know, north-south. If we're able to get funding for Collins Road, that is a second north-south, you know, roadway that is right on the line, the population center line between the county, and so that would give us two. And then Alamein Road, it gives us another bridge, which is something that's been in the works for, you know, probably 30 years, Fran, close to 30 years. So either way, if we're able to get, you know, $10 million for Collins or $25 million for the bridge, or you know, it helps us as a county to do other projects as well. And then just having added oomph, I guess, in Springfield to say, hey, this is really important, Route 47. You know, if you're going to look at a capital project, I can't think of a bigger capital project that would affect our county than that right there.
I need to ask this question because it ties in with funding. And maybe, Matt, you know the answer to this. I don't know. But as I get older and my vision gets more gets dimmer, we'll say, but even before that, we have a lot of, like, Fox Road as you drive it at night and stuff, like, it's, you can't even see the markings, and God forbid it rains, because then you can't see them at all. So can we get funding to, like, remark all of these roads? Like, and I'm not the only one, like, people talk about, like, I'm not driving at night down here or down there because I can't see the road. Because all the paint's worn off, there's no reflectors anymore. There's no shoulder, so you have to have nowhere you can go if there's something does leap out in front of you. Like, is that the kind of thing that we could also include in our request?
I don't know, Scott. Fran, is that something you can speak to? Yeah, anyone? Jim? Jim's coming up. Jim Wyman.
Those are things that probably would not be part of a big capital ask. They're more run-of-the-mill maintenance type things that should be done on a regular basis because they really don't cost that much. And I assume you're talking about the city portion of Fox Road, because the county portion of Fox Road is brand new and is very bright.
It's very well
and
bright.
Shiny.
Right. But there's other places. I mean, I've noticed it and people remark, and I don't have in my head the map of where the city lines and the county responsibility begins and ends, but it's a problem.
It is, and that's why the Federal Highway Administration is now considering retro reflectivity requirements. It's a big word, but they did this about 10 years ago with signs. There's minimum levels of retro reflectivity, so basically how bright and shiny they are. Mm-hmm. And they have that requirement for signs, and they are working on an implementation for pavement markings as well. Pavement markings are a lot harder to measure. You know, a sign's pretty easy to measure, but a pavement marking that goes on for 10 miles is pretty hard to measure. But they are looking at ways to make minimum levels of brightness for those as well. So it would probably address that. But I'm not sure that would be answering your original question. Probably not part of the...
Because it's a maintenance
type. Because it's a maintenance type thing. Yeah.
That's what I figured, but...
Yeah,
so with that, it sounds like there's kind of a little bit of a consensus forming for the Cullen, Tom Cullen or Cullen Group. What's the name of the organization? Is it Cullen Group?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cullen Group. Amy, are you okay with that?
I
Matthew, reluctantly?
I'm a little bit.
Do you have another first?
Yeah. So based on the reviews from the members of the legislature, AGS.
Okay. Mr. Keller?
I'm fine with the second one.
Ms. Cullen. Cullen. Mr. Purcell? Cullen? Ms. Hendricks, keep throwing me off. I look at your
name
plate.
I know, right? Sorry. Cullen.
Cullen.
I'll throw it off.
All right. Yeah.
We don't look at the name plate for you.
Yeah. I don't think I've called on that name, but, you know, five times. But so, Mr. Keppel, the direction is for to work with the Cullen Group to on a contract.
Okay.
For services, I think the dollar amount was it $5,000 that he had.
I believe so. Yeah.
Suggested, and then the length of it. The that was the other side of it was, you know, do we do it for the capital bill until it's done? Do we just, you know, do a 1 year contract? And I kind of am leaning towards the 1 year because you know, it could go through veto session in the fall. Could take us that far, and then if we go with the Cullen Group. And he can do other things for us that, mm-hmm. that we might need help with, it would make sense to have it for the entire legislative session,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to just through the spring or a month or something. But that's just my thought. And Ms. Gilmore?
Isn't he the one that said it was he wanted a year? I mean, he didn't give us that option, I think.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, his request was for a year. So okay. And we could try to get like a 90-day out or something like that in the contract for, you know, from either party or a mutual. If it's mutual, obviously it's easy to separate, but we can try to get that in it as well. We have that in our agreements with Alliant and Horton as well to try to get, you know, if there needs to be an out, we can work through it.
Ms. Hunters?
So I agree for a year, but I just had a thought, and that was about how great you got awarded the money, but then there's the chasing it to make sure you get it part. So I want to do a year too, but then I just had that thought, and I'm like, oh, wait, maybe we want to. But I think at that point, wouldn't we just...
We could revisit it, you know.
Right.
Can't we just rehire him?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. Right. Yeah, okay. But just remember, it's not just getting the money. It's right. Also getting the money.
Mr. Purcell.
All right.
Yeah.
When this has been discussed in the past, I think we talked about taking this from the transportation sales tax, the funding for this. Is that correct?
Fran?
Okay, that's that's what we'll do then. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. You got your direction, Scott?
No. We're going to take it for public safety, right?
Yeah, I will start working on a contract. I think he had a model contract in his in one of his emails, but I'll get with Tom shortly.
Wonderful.
And start working on that and then take it to the state's attorney to keep
Thank
you.
All right. Next, new business. May have a motion to approve the bid award to Tech 84 for the purchase of a body scanner training and a 3-year warranty in the amount of $149,000. Motion by Prochaska.
Second.
Seconded by Sesich. Mr. Sheriff Baird.
I'll attempt to answer any questions you may have.
Is this going into the jail?
Yes, sir. It is. We can move it. It takes a couple hours to move. If we were to need it at the courthouse for some reason, if we were to have a case, we would need a body scanner over there. But for the most part, it's going to be stationary in the jail.
And will there be a savings?
Yes, we actually reduced a staff member with anticipation of getting this year through attrition. Because we will be doing less body searches, it will also make the facility safer.
Ms. Sausage?
This is as big as the one at the airport, so you still have to stand there?
You know, I don't have the dimensions. You do have to stand. You stand there, you don't move. And it scans you, and then the person will be trained on how to read the image, so to speak, for any foreign articles in the body or in the waistband or something like that. Yes. So if they were to ingest heroin or ingest something, and it would be like in a balloon or something, that's usually a common thing, we could see that in them, and then in that case we could get the medical attention.
Mr. Purcell.
Sheriff, one thing I just would like to say is I appreciate when you bring new technology, how you also use it to make the county operations more efficient, and in some cases when you don't need the staff through attrition, you don't fill those positions. And I hope that all big capital expenses, we can take a look at that. Thank you.
Thank you. And I know you know how important scans are.
Yes, I do. Thank you. I enjoy it.
Mr. Kellogg.
What was the budget? I was trying to find it.
$150,000 is what we had budgeted.
Just slightly under. Thank you.
Yep.
You can include parking lots with the other grants. Yeah, you can say it.
All right, roll call.
Ms. Gilmore.
Yes.
Mr. Grader.
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks.
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska.
Yes.
Mr. Purcell.
Aye.
Ms. Vickers.
Yes.
Ms. Hussage.
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Elected officials report and other department reports. Oh, Sheriff.
I like how you time that on the agenda. I do want to point out Rob DeLong's here.
Oh, he stole my thunder.
He's going to be appointed, or I anticipate his appointment later on today to the Sheriff's Merit Commission. So, and Janice could not be here today, but I met both of them. If you want to raise your hand, just so they, if you don't know Rob, he's very involved in the community up in the Oswego Township and Boulder Hill area. So, thank you for stepping forward.
Yeah, and I wanted having you out. You know, most of our appointments they aren't here, so it's nice to see you here today.
Well, and he stayed this long. That's why I wanted to make sure he was recognized for his 3.5 hours that he's been here.
You can go get lunch now if you want.
Lunch? Did anyone say food?
Also, my year-end report is filed with the clerk's office. We went over it yesterday at Law and Justice and Legislative Committee. Pretty much the few numbers up, few numbers down. Don't really see a whole lot that wasn't anticipated. The budget was up, but again, we came into this budget without having a contract settled with patrol deputies, so that's why that's up. And then the corrections budget is up a little bit. That was mainly due to medical, mainly prescriptions were really up. There was some inmates that we had that we were spending $3,000 a month on prescriptions, even with our discount. So other than that, and our overtime was up a little bit in that area as well. So
Mr. Purcell,
was that in the packet or not?
I don't believe my year-end report okay. was
I think
in
he
the
gave
packet.
It to the LJL committee, but I don't think he
did. They meet
they I'm did
they
yes
did meet.
Was there any discussion?
10 minutes.
Who's the vice chair of that committee? Mr. Prochaska,
could you give a report, please?
Mr. Chairman, the LJL team met yesterday. We did go through some of the sheriff's report.
Did you get a copy of his report he's discussing?
I believe so, yeah.
Could you get me a copy of that, please?
I can email it to
is
you.
Is it in the packet?
Is it
the
oh,
one?
Is it?
Here
where's
go.
That? I missed it. Right okay. Here. Thank you. Right
isn't
here.
The packet I printed for you?
Yeah, I'm looking through it. What page you on?
Printed and emailed.
The page numbers didn't print. But
would you like me to sit on your lap and open your packet for you?
I have nobody
whoa,
texted
hey.
Me.
Hey.
I'm feeling alone.
Perhaps we should just go to all laptops and just go paperless.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
then you can quickly and easily pull it up.
Or TV.
I can't make notes on
TVs.
We
voted
on
it. No. All right, Sheriff, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Don't email it to me.
County Clerk.
Oh, and I do have one other report.
Oh.
We've made a transition to paperless. Now that was brought up in our a lot of our we printed out at the end, but during the approval process it would go back and forth with notes on it and you know for changes and stuff like that, and we've all took that over to paperless. So we're looking to see how much paper we're going to be saving here in about 3 months. It took us about 4 or 5 months to do that. We still have a paper copy, but all those copies back and forth to get it approved have gone away. We're paperless on that.
Appreciate that. And Sheriff, I want to thank you and those that were involved in the search attempt that you had this last week. I know the outcome was tragic and not what we wanted, but you know, I got a call at my house the alert system that came up, and it seemed like as far as our EMA and our sheriff and everybody kind of working together, do you want to touch on that at all? I want to thank you all for your efforts, but kind of talk how we as a county are able to work together in those scenarios.
Yeah, it worked out really well between fire, our search and rescue, the volunteer search and rescue team, the other resources that we were able to pool together with our drone. I know Chicago Police Department, they brought out their helicopter, and they helped in the search. We had a lot of people in the community that knew where it was at. They were arriving, tried it. To try and help us, locate. We did use the Everbridge system. We took some criticism for the ending of it, the call going out at a little bit before 1 a.m. But to the defense of the people on the scene that made that call, it was because they still had volunteers showing up. So they wanted to get that out. The circumstances, I'm not going to second guess them. I think they made the right call by doing it. If we didn't have people showing up, we may have postponed putting it out till a more reasonable hour. But the community really come together, you know, at that time of crisis, and it was nice to see. So we train for them, we plan for them, we try to work on our communications, and it's just a tragic situation. But we have a 5 o'clock meeting today. That's one of the things we're going to talk about is debriefing that. But
something that you as sheriff have really pushed is the training, and you know, of your deputies, and I think that's important. Whatever the response is, you know, whether it's something like this or schools, there are so many things that are happening. You know, just having a group that's prepared is really important.
Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you for that.
Can I
Ms. Rickers.
I know it feels like it was forever ago, but a bunch of the deputies also got together and kind of adopted a boy with cancer in Boulder Hill, and somebody built a toy box, and they filled it with toys and delivered them. And then Rob actually organized the residents of Boulder Hill all contributed money to adopt 3 families for Christmas. And the deputies did it all on the same day, went and delivered to everyone. And it was really a huge outpouring. And there were a lot of people there. So thank you for doing that, too.
You bet. Deputy Harl, he was the one that he has a wood-making skill, so he's able to make the toy box. So, yeah, it was very nice. It really uplifted us around the sheriff's office. We always don't get to see the good stuff all the time, so it feels good to do something nice. So thank you for acknowledging that.
Thank you. County Clerk?
My revenue report is in the packet. And then I also set on your desks an annual report that I've done the last several years, just stating how many things that we've done in the office traditionally, you know, marriage licenses, death certificates, assumed names, just so you guys can look at the numbers. And then things that we continue to do in the clerk's office. We do have county ordinances online. We did get 12 more years posted, so we go back to 1980 on that. I continually update the yearbook and government guide every month with appointments and changes and whatnot. Tax sale, FOIAs. We did get a vital record software where we are now scanning in our old paper records into the computer, so if in the event of a fire or something, we wouldn't lose those paper records. So we are continuing to do that. And then we took over liquor licenses, so we continue to work on that. We have been back filing documents in the recorder's office. We are in 1986 now, so we are going back to get more documents online. And then we did have 2 very busy elections last year. I told you the percentages of turnout and whatnot. And we took over the Aurora Election Commission, adding 3,224 voters and then 1 polling place to accommodate for that. One of the biggest things that we've done are the national change of address. So through the post office, if someone changes their address, we get notified and we have to update their registration. So we did 1,299 of those. We received 6,191 registrations through the DMV because now people are automatically registered. And then there's another electronic registration information system center, which the state of Illinois belongs to, and that's like a cross match of different states. So we get registrations through that system as well. We got 3,885 registrations from there. So we are very busy with registrations all throughout the year and voter registration. We had our election judge training. We had 293 election judges attend. And then we continually have meetings on election security and ways to secure the vote throughout the year. So we're a very busy year.
Great. Thank you. Treasurer could not be here. She said her report is in the packet, and feel free to reach out if you have any questions on that. Clerk of the court was here, but she also had another appointment to get to, and I think she said the next union discussion with her group is January 24th. State's attorney?
You have my report. It's only about 25 minutes long. Kidding. And I'm just hoping we get it done by now, since we're not. Quick, going on a trip.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
So we do our annual report. We're not required to do so, but I was thinking it's important to present this to you. I'm just going to point out a couple brief things. You can look at it, read it at your pleasure. Couple things I want to let you know of note. We, I guess, fortunately, but also unfortunately, we reached our 1,000th interview at the Child Advocacy Center this year. While it's a unfortunate number to have to interview 1,000 different children over the time since we've created that, the fact that we have that resource here, the fact that we have partnered with the health department and have our forensic interviewers through Health and Human Services, that convenience of having them that close has been a phenomenal asset. I say that every year. I'm going to keep saying it as long as this program works, and it is one of the most successful intergovernmental programs, and I would say that about anything. Have anyone come in and say otherwise, that the one's more successful than this program. The cases that come out of those are unfortunate. They are some of the most horrific things you'll ever hear. But it truly is a necessary and very valuable and important thing that we do in this county that's often not seen by what we do. So that partnership continues and is it's, I'm glad that we have it there. Not necessarily do we need it as much as we do, but the fact that it's available when we need it. Our juvenile justice stuff is in there as well. We raised again over $10,000 with juvenile justice through our Skyrun. Again, another successful run to provide truancy grants, and I'll talk about that in a second. As far as how it relates to other cases. I also put in our front page the number of cases that were filed, the types of cases. You notice the juvenile cases have gone up a little bit. I don't want anyone to panic. That does fluctuate every year. I went back to 2000 and, hold on, I did my pulled my 2012 report. We were well above in 2010. 2009, we were well above the numbers we're at in 2018. So. Again, that's sort of an ebb and flow as referrals come through from different law enforcement agencies. No great trend going any direction. Just seems to be this year we're a little bit higher on referrals of cases to our office. Again, nothing of a concern for me. We did provide training this year. We provide training to fire departments regarding paramedics and firefighters testifying in court. We provided training to law enforcement as far as what testimony is needed in court and why. Some of those questions that why does prosecutors do what they do? As far as cases and what witnesses we call, those type of things, we presented that training. And we presented just a recent training on the medical examinations for child sex assault cases. So we have, again, a great partnership with Edwards Hospital, with Dr. Rangala. She's great when she comes out because those are very sensitive and time-sensitive cases as well. Next year, we're going to be doing some in-house training for KenCom for their dispatchers as far as testimony as well. That's scheduled in February. We have something that I'm not going to go too far into it, but Mutual Ground and myself through our office are working on a project for next year. I hope to bring that hopefully forward in June, July, if all things go well. So, other than that, we're going to start up the collective bargaining agreements again. So that'll be something that the board will have to determine if we're going to do that again. Assuming we are, then we'll go through that process again, starting here, looking at a little bit towards the end of this fiscal year. And obviously going into next fiscal year when the contracts are up. So I'd go into more detail, but pretty much I'm sure you're tired of listening to anyone other than me talk. So any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Otherwise, I know you have, again, a lot on your agenda. So been very busy, unfortunately.
Sorry. Eric, and maybe you mentioned this as I was summing through the report.
Sure.
You have the asterisk by the felony cases.
Yes.
So, and then it says multiple counts usually filed as one right. Case number. So are those counts listed or case numbers?
Case numbers. So if you look in
okay. The
JANL system or the clerk's office, you will see 18 CF-436 as the last felony number filed. If a person's charged with multiple different offenses from the same act, they are filed as counts. They are not filed as separate case numbers. So someone can commit, you know, a possession of drugs, a driving license revoked, a battery to the police officer, whatever, those are all be filed in one case
so
number.
So this is individuals, essentially.
Yes. We used to a long time. The reason I put that asterisk, when I was an assistant state attorney, we filed every type of count as a case number. So our numbers were much higher, 2002, 2003, even though our number of defendants was not actually that high.
So we just changed the mechanism 13 years ago on how we file those cases, so.
Okay, and then a second question, please. The traffic, I see that's up, about 10%.
A little bit, yeah.
Have any of the municipalities changed what they're doing and sending more tickets back to the county, or is it just ebb and flow?
It's ebb and flow. They do, most cities, if I'm not mistaken, all, I don't want to say all because I'm not 100% sure, I know most of them do, have an adjudicative process where they send their equipment violations, which are the ones we see used to see in traffic court, through their administrative process. Their motor vehicle ones are not adopted for that process as of yet. So, I'm sorry, moving violations under the motor vehicle code are not adopted for that process yet. So those still come to us. We're just not seeing as much traffic cases.
Could they do that, or is that state
they law? Can, and there's a couple cases they can transfer. Some require the state's attorney's authority to do so, some do not.
Okay.
Again, it's always a, what are you getting and what's the motivation for taking it out of the criminal court system and putting it in the hands of adjudication officers? Most of the time it's financial. Hey, we can make more money. Is that always the driving mechanism for the criminal justice system? I don't think it should be. Always willing to address those issues, but most of the time you have the resources available. You have the staff available in your state's attorney's office that can do that. That's all they do. Most of these firms that handle these type of things are defense attorneys. So I would, not saying that they're not qualified, I'm just saying that the value of having a full-time, that's all they do, dedicated prosecutors and multiple ones, usually outweighs whatever they can provide if the staffing levels are there. You go to DuPage or Kane County, where they just don't have the number, they don't have the number of assistant state attorneys in Kane or DuPage to accommodate the city of Aurora, Elgin, you go to DuPage, you look at Naperville and some of the bigger cities. They just don't have the funding to do so, so they have to shift their resources elsewhere. So,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Anyone else?
Thank sure you. Thank you.
Something for you guys to consider that maybe I'll take a consensus at the next meeting, but something that Eric had mentioned is the collective bargaining coming up. Historically, we have done this as a board, but we do have the committee that is labor and grievance that could filter some of what we see each week at board meetings instead. So like you to consider whether you would be open to that, because what we would like to avoid is, Leslie having to do it twice. So if you're just going to ask, all your questions, anyway, let's, maybe we don't do that, but if you're, okay, maybe putting some trust into the committee, knowing that, the big things are obviously we're going to have questions on, which will be the dollars and cents and things like that, but I don't know if anybody has thoughts on that, but I'll bring that up again in the next month or two. I'm sure you do. So thank you. Coroner, she also had to leave. Her report is in the packet, and said that if anybody has questions, please feel free to reach out to her. She'd be happy to answer anything that you might have. Health Department. Where's Andy? He usually sits these things.
True. The law.
Yeah.
I'll be brief. Good afternoon.
Well, thank
good
afternoon. You for sticking around.
Yes, it's really enjoyable. Thank you, John. I had coffee for the first time upstairs. I've never done that before. I had coffee and chips. I want to say something about a very serious subject, and this is the assistance given to victims of the Oswego Township fire. I'm just going to read a couple sentences and then just give you some, just a very simple briefing. So, just to recap, community members came together to aid victims of the Oswego Township fire that occurred in December, just a week before Christmas. Families were displaced by this apartment complex fire in Oswego Township, and the building remains uninhabitable. We have collaborated with community members and partners, and these community members and partners have been a real positive force during this time. So last week we sent out, we had been meeting each week to just brief each other on what was left to do, what were the family needs that were coming forward. And the family needs that were coming forward, as you can imagine, were housing, food, personal care product, clothing, furniture, and there were some special Christmas gifts, and there were some special needs, some more complex needs that families had as well. So this slowed down a lot in recent days. So we put out a public service announcement last week thanking community members and partners for the durable and cash donations that they had provided to some of our partners. There was a lot of food and clothing and personal care products donated. There were a lot of Christmas gifts and furniture, and also cash. So those partners felt like they had enough. However, we are not finished working with families. We're still working with some families. And we also know that these same needs, even for the same family, can come up again because situations aren't always stable. So I just want to read you the closing statement of this. Each of these, first of all, we're currently working with community members and partners as these situations continue to evolve. And this effort is a wonderful example of community members, including many of yourselves, being committed and coming together to aid others in the recovery process. And yet each of these individuals has experienced great loss and duress-filled challenge. We want to know that every community member can give consideration for each person in need, whether the need is fresh or the need is one of duration, and that that is not wasted on that person. So we know that these family needs will come up again. Some of the partners that are working most closely with us, we have a meeting one more time this week, and we're going to be looking at those needs again. So not quite finished yet. And we're just really appreciative for the enormous response of the community in helping these family members.
I want to thank you for keeping this kind of front and center for us as well, to know that it's still ongoing. And is there something that's specific or some things that are specific that those that want to help can still help with?
That's such a nice question, Scott. I've been asked that before. But the best way to help is if you know something that's coming up for a family that we didn't know about, that they want help with, to let us know so we can see if we can pull partners around them. Now, what we know, is that the individuals that experienced this, that many of them did not have easy lives before this happened, and may not have easy lives after this has happened. And so we ask for kindness from neighbors and community members who notice that maybe these same people might need again, because that can happen. It would be understandable. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I see, Jackie, I mentioned your report is in the packet. Do you have anything that you would like to add?
Not unless there's any questions.
Any questions for the coroner while she's here? No.
All
right. Thank you. How about Coco? No comments?
No.
Supervisor of the assessments is not here. Standing committee reports, planning, building, and zoning. Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion of approval of the inoperable vehicle ordinance violation.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Purcell. Any discussion? Mr. Keppel.
I just want to note this isn't in the packet. Matt Osselmeyer distributed it to everybody before the meeting started. Apologize for that, but it's got the agenda briefing as a top page. You should have it on your desk.
The separate handout that says inoperable vehicle citation letter. And this has language added back into it at the suggestion of the state's attorney?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
You can change it back to violations. This also follows our ordinance, but also the clerk's office has violations.
Any other questions or comments? Roll call. Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Tokas. Sure, let me finish up the vote here, and then happy to, yeah.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All ayes, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the PBZ committee had met on January 7th, 2019, heard a variety of items that were sent back to us from the previous county board. We anticipate some of those items coming out of the next PBZ. And then also in your minutes, there's a couple items that we sent back. We're starting to work through the system on.
Great. Thank you.
Actually, some of those times in public comment earlier, too.
Yes.
Which is kind of ironic.
It is. Coincidental or ironic?
Yeah.
All right, Doctor?
No, I just felt I should mention one of the community members had asked about eating the meat of a deer that could be sick with chronic wasting disease, and Robin had correctly mentioned that it's not recommended that people eat that meat. That's because this, even though there aren't any known cases of this transmitting to humans, this kind of disease is in the same category as mad cow disease, actually, not rabies, mad cow disease. And that did break the species barrier. And so diseases have their own evolution, and are you looking at the farmer in the room to see what he's saying?
I was just thinking of how smart Robin is for saying that.
Pardon me? I thank Robin for saying that because disease has its own evolution, and we don't actually know, even though there are no cases that we know about, but in mad cow disease, after a time, it did break the species barrier, and some persons were sickened by it. So I just wanted to mention that in good conscience since Robin brought that up and someone asked that very good question. So
hey, thank you for that follow-up. Appreciate it. Highway, may I have a motion to approve the resolution withdrawing the center line for the Wickedook Trail, which the county board proposed and recorded in 2000?
So moved.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Gilmore. Mr. Purcell?
Can Fran explain this, please?
Sure. Fran, do you want to come up? And stay close. There may be some other
sir,
items.
No, there definitely will be. Fran Kloss, County Engineer.
So this was recorded in 2000. That what it was?
Correct.
And why are we withdrawing it? Is this just for a section, or?
This is just the piece from south of the area of Stewart and Rance.
Okay.
About a mile south of that is Scotch Road. And in 2000, the county recorded an alternative alignment that veered off of Stewart Road to the east, went north, crossed Stewart Road, crossed Rance, and then across 30 and hooked up with Hegseola. That was done in response to much opposition from the folks who lived on Stewart Road at the time. In this latest alignment study by SEMCON and in talking with the Village of Oswego, with Matt Kellogg and others, yes, this, by withdrawing this old 2000 center line, we, and going back to the Stewart Road alignment, we're more consistent with the comp plan for the Village of Oswego and their desires to not disrupt the Aaronmore Farms area, which is what our alternative alignment would be doing.
Does this change or impact the long-term plans for this highway at all, as far as the needs or the capacity that the road will serve?
Not really at all.
Okay.
I think it just recognizes mostly that the Village of Oswego is going to be in control of that last couple miles on the north end, and if their desires are to have it go up the Stewart Road alignment, there's probably not a lot the county could do whatever we wanted to do because Oswego's driving the bus.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Kellogg.
Fran covered it just now. We're good.
Thank you.
Okay. Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Gray?
Yes. Thank you. All ayes. May I have a motion to approve an ordinance authorizing the Kendall County Highway Committee to establish parking restriction on county highways?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Gilmore. And this came up as a result of, I think initially it was because of the county taking over jurisdiction in Ben Street in Plano. Fran, do you want to add anything to that? Or? And we just don't have a mechanism for doing that. So while that's not something that is, there's not a trailer ordinance anticipated right now, unless something has changed since our last committee meeting, we thought it would be a good idea to have this in order. Mr. Purcell?
So this would give the committee the authority to approve the ordinance and not the board?
Correct.
I'm not there, but I think that should come back to the board for decision.
Where did that come from originally? Was that
as far as
just the at the committee? Yeah.
It's so seldomly. I mean, the state attorney gave us a choice of letting Fran as an individual do it, the committee do it, or bring it to the whole board every time. And it's come up one time in the time you've been the engineer, and it's, we don't even have that many streets that are, so.
Well, we don't need it now, as I'm here, and I would say if we need it, then bring back to the board. It's the first time I heard about in 18 years. And I know we didn't always control those roads, but I just think that should be a board decision if we're going to start handing people fines for whatever reason.
And that you make a good point that, you know, the reason for it now is that there are a lot more, you know, the villages and the cities are encroaching more into, you know, county roadways, or maybe it's the other way around. The county roadways are going into villages and cities. So I think that's part of why it was important to get this on, Mr. Purcell.
And just follow up on that, you know, as an example, you could have a committee meeting with three people. That's a quorum. Two people on the county board could approve fines. I just think that's just folly.
Are you making a motion?
I'm making a motion that we don't do this, or we have the full county board. You tell me what you'd like. I'll make the motion. I just think the full county board should make those decisions.
Okay. Any other comments?
Based on the fact that we hardly ever had to use this, I don't know why we have to micromanage everything here. Committee is five people. They could do this.
Three people show up. Two people on the county board can make a decision to fine somebody. Mm-hmm. Now you got two county board members on a committee. They decide they don't like Mr. Jones over here in Plano. They're going to have a committee and they're going to pass an ordinance. It could be done. You know, laugh all you want, but it could be done.
Roll call.
Mr. Kellogg.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska.
Yes.
Mr. Purcell.
No.
Ms. Vickers.
Yes.
Ms. Essage.
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore.
Yes.
Mr. Greider.
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks.
Yes.
7-1.
Thank you. May I have a motion to approve intergovernmental agreement between Kendall County, Village of Montgomery, and Village of Oswego pertaining to the installation of a traffic signal at the intersection of Galena Road and Concord Drive?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Hendricks. Almost said Flowers. Fran, do you want to give us the nutshell on this one? Just with the traffic counts and whatnot.
Right, so this intersection is Galena Road, Concord Drive, immediately west of Orchard Road. The IGA spells out that the county will pay for half of the construction of a traffic signal. The Village of Montgomery will pay the other half. I can't remember if Oswego is participating on that construction or not, but then the village will pay for all electricity for the intersection, for the traffic signal and the lighting, and the county will have the maintenance, lead maintenance of the traffic signal forever.
Which village will pay for electricity?
Montgomery.
Montgomery, okay.
So this has been in the works for a while, and the traffic, to your question, Scott, the intersection is operating at a level of service F in the morning and evening peak hours, so it's important that we move forward with this now.
Mr. Purcell.
A couple things. One, what's the cost? What's the county's cost? Estimated, obviously. And what's the time frame?
Estimated county cost is $150,000, and it should be done by the end of this calendar year.
County's cost is $150,000.
Correct.
And what's the total cost?
$300,000.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Essage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. Now may I have a motion to release the executive session minutes from the Highway Committee dated July 11th, 2017.
Second.
Motion by Sessage, seconded by Prochaska. And these minutes were, Fran, what were those minutes? July 11th, was that Ridge?
The executive session minutes were pertaining to the acquisition of properties on Grove Road from Sherrill Route 52.
And that's all that's been completed?
Correct.
Any questions? Roll call.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Essage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Thank you. Facilities, Mr. Kellogg.
I'd like to make a motion to approve a one-year contract with Call One for Centrix phone circuits in the amount of $9 per month based on price plus usage.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Sessage. Any discussion?
Jim, if you want to step up or
Mr.
sit
Purcell
there and speak into the mic. your preference, maybe you move your legs.
John, do you have a question, or do you want to wait till?
No, I do.
Go ahead.
How's that compared to what we have now, Jim?
Exactly the same.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
All ayes.
Move to approve a one-year customer service agreement contract with Call One for the county analog phone circuits in the amount of $6,006.53 per month based on price plus usage.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Prochaska. Mr. Purcell?
I have actually two questions. How does this one compare?
They maintain the same price as last year.
Okay, and I should ask this on the last one. If they're maintaining prices, did we look at doing multi-year contracts?
These typically have been one-year contracts. I would like to see them longer, but they've been typically one-year contracts the last, I don't know, 5 years or so.
Okay. Thank you.
Roll call.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All ayes.
To make a motion to approve a one-year PM1 and PM2 generator service contract with Steiner Power Systems in the amount of $9,075.53.
Motion by Kellogg.
Second.
Seconded by Purcell. Mr. Purcell.
So PM's preventive maintenance, right?
Yes.
Correct.
And then those are generators 1 and 2 where?
It's for all of our systems, public safety, health department, county office building, and highway.
Okay. And before we had the agreement for the electricity and generators, we still had generators that needed maintenance, correct?
Yeah, that's a separate thing. That's a demand response thing, I think you're talking about.
But those still would need maintenance either way?
Yes, all that is that they're guaranteeing us money for at least a test every year, or if we actually use them, they'll pay us so much per hour that they're used for.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Thank you, all ayes. And for this next one, I'd like to ask for a continuance for till the February meeting. And Eric, do you want to tell us why?
Yeah, we went back and forth with train representatives on some different issues. I finally got a email out to them. Specifically, will they indemnify us based on the question we have? I did receive this morning a response from Train that they are agreeing to indemnify us for the competitive bidding issue if there ever becomes one. They just need some time to get that language back and forth between us and them. So based on that, I spoke to Mr. Kellogg, I spoke to Mr. Smiley, I spoke to Sheriff Baird as far as the timing. We're gonna work on getting the language. We're gonna send the language actually to them what we're proposing. So we can hope to streamline the process and hopefully have that back as soon as possible or even before the next meeting.
Mr. Gallagher.
For Eric's benefit, Mr. Smiley's in Train. I know we're not voting, but can we get a
consensus?
Yes, yeah, so that if he gets this done, are we willing to go forward so that we don't waste his time? And that also allows Jim to take the next 2 weeks and begin working so we don't lose those 2 weeks in our time frame. The concern of completing before hot weather sets in, so we'll let you.
Yeah, is there a consensus to what Matt described, and Erica described? Ms. Sesich, yes?
It'll eliminate our concern if we get that language from the legal side. We will obviously have no issues at that point. So
let's okay. get started. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get that to you.
Mr. Purcell.
Earlier, we'll get to you.
I have a question about the 10%. I don't remember that being discussed last week. Now that puts it closer to the other number.
It was strictly a suggestion by me to Scott Keppel. Typically for a large project, we would have some kind of contingency. I suggested 10% or 750 if you want to make a round number. I just thought there should be some money there unless you want, if it does happen to go over or we have some extra work that we want them to do, that it comes back to the board, I'm fine with that too.
Well, let me ask this, and maybe this will answer in my mind. If we would have gone the other route where we came with the $850,000 bid, would we have a contingency in there? Would that be a recommendation?
Yes.
So either way, we'd have it.
Yes, on a big project, it's always a good idea to have some kind of contingency.
Thank you. I'm fine.
All right, Ms. Hendricks.
That was the last concern that I had, so I'm glad to hear that that's coming off the list of reasons that make me nervous. So my answer is, yeah, I'm comfortable moving forward now.
Okay, all right, we have consensus.
Well, that's the quickest discussion we've had in that ever.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well done. It's the new chair over there.
Thanks.
All right, do we need to take a formal continuation vote, do you think?
We just want to keep it on with the agenda for next month.
Otherwise, yeah, I was going to say, I can just pop it back in.
There's no motion.
Okay. Anything else from facilities?
No, but I can do.
Scott, I want to make, let's make sure that we get that back on for next month.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Finance.
I wasn't there, so.
I'll make a motion to approve supplemental claims in an amount not to exceed $1,024,950.51 in claims in an amount not to exceed $1,365,674.82.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Greider?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Thank you. And for the next item under our board rules of order, Member Purcell has indicated that he will abstain from this discussion and so therefore will be treated as though he is not present.
Make a motion to approve coroner claims in amount not to exceed $1,090.31.
Second.
Motion by Kellogg, seconded by Hendricks. Discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Kellogg?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greider?
Yes. All ayes. Thank you. We need to hold off on economic development number one. Anything else?
Yeah, there was a temporary trial period. They have a trial period. We just don't have the signed copy back from them. We spoke through email to their attorney. They should have it to us by next week, or the court date next week, so we'll have it by then. We'll be ready to vote on
February. Okay, so I'm now losing my mind.
That's right. Temporary period. This was the, and they have completed it successfully. They've made their payments. This will be just a modification to cement that for the future. Purpose.
And your quote, that's right, was that too? I'm not losing my mind?
No.
Okay.
Not that part.
You're not going to agree twice.
Hypocrisy only goes so far.
All right. May I have a motion to approve the standing committee minutes?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Gilmore. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Special committee reports. VAC, I have nothing at this time. Scott, anything for VAC?
Nothing, Ned.
KenCom?
Matthew.
Oh, Matthew. Mr. Prochaska.
KenCom, my committee met late last month. There is an executive committee meeting scheduled for later this month. Hopefully we'll have some sort of labor contract.
UCCI, Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, the United States Council will be meeting later this month at our January meeting. We are going to be doing one of our regional seminars at the same time. There will also be a regional seminar in February and March. The February one will be in Dixon, and the March one will be in Mount Vernon.
Mr. Purcell.
Well, he's done with that. Could I back up to KenCom?
Mr. Purcell.
Just a request, Member Prochaska, since you're now on the KenCom board, could you just, whenever there's any discussion on budgetary items, could you make sure you bring a paper copy to this board so we could see a paper copy, please?
I'll make sure you get a copy.
Thank you very much.
Historic preservation, Scott.
Nothing to add.
Isn't there a meeting coming up?
There is. There, I believe they're planning. Matt snuck out.
Ready to put you on the spot.
Give me 1 second.
Who's our representative for that?
Liz Flowers.
The agenda was approved by Christine Heinemann for their next meeting, which is the 22nd of January.
I thought there was a regional meeting in February.
There is. We got an invitation.
Yeah.
It's at LaSalle Manor.
Yeah.
February 13th at 7 p.m. LaSalle Manor.
LaSalle Manor, February 13th, 7 p.m. Okay.
I haven't been there in a while.
I know that's a big thing for them. So.
For LaSalle Manor or for the bank?
Probably both. Yeah. I've not been out there, but I think, Matt, didn't you say you'd been there? Or John, one of you two.
I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was required to go there.
So that should be pretty interesting, I think. Board of Health, Amal, is there anything else? That I know that we have the solid waste plan that we did announcements for coming up. And you have a meeting tonight?
Yeah,
meeting tonight. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
You might want to put that report on the evening meeting when Tony is here.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, thank you. Other business, Ms. Hendricks?
The Fox Valley Workforce Board will reconvene with the joint executive and one-stop committee meeting on February 28th, which I will be attending, and as well as their regular meeting on March 13th at early o'clock in the morning, both of them.
Wonderful.
I'll let you know.
Early o'clock?
Early o'clock. So I'll let you know if there's any developments that might touch on us. There has been a bit of motion in terms of where the one-stop facilities will be and who will be administrating those services. So I will report back on anything that will impact our county.
Appreciate that. That seems like something that Mr. Shaw used to get riled up about, so let us know. May I have a chairman's report? Motion to approve appointments of Janice Bruce Hightower to the Merit Commission for two-year term, expiring September 2020. John Robert DeLong, Merit Commission, two-year term, expires March 2021. Jack Westfall, Merit Commission, two-year term, expiring March 2021. Don Maroney, Merit Commission, expiring August 2022. And Bill Davis to the Plan Commission of 3 years, expiring January 2022.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Purcell, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. I'm announcing appointment of two community members at large to the 2019 Solid Waste Ad Hoc Committee. That's something that will happen in the next month, in February, yes. Citizens to be heard. Say your name and you have 5 minutes.
Thank you. Todd Moran, Yorkville. This Solid Waste Ad Hoc Committee was something that I participated in last time around. And 5 years before that. So I don't know how those community members will be appointed, but I would like to be considered for that position or one of those two positions. So to follow up on my first comments, I had a chance to talk to Matt Asselmeyer out in the hallway while you guys were in executive session. He indicated that what Mr. Pollich said and made in his statements was valid, and that the only records that they could find for the Kendall County Sheriff's gun range was a stormwater permit, and that was it. And that was all that was done, was apparently to haul that dirt from the jail out to the railroad tracks where that gun range is now, was a stormwater permit. And there was no plans, and there's no somebody poured the dirt and it's called it a gun range, it looks like. That's what happened. So I think that needs to be looked into, and somebody needs to see if it was done properly. So I'm going to leave it at that. But what he said was, in fact, true.
Questions from the press?
No questions, sir.
Any need for executive session? We have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Gilmore. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You are adjourned.